And tonight is our Wednesday night roundtable discussion. I'm here with Pastor Sam to my right and Pastor Tim to my left. Hello, internet world. And elaborate a little bit more on the message on Sunday. I think we should boom on what really needs to be said, because the people out there don't really understand that we are in warfare. And it's, you know, I guess traditionally speaking, yes, we were understanding warfare and, you know, the devil is our enemy and all that, but they didn't really realize where or who the devil is.
They thought he was out there.
Yeah, he thought he was out there.
Influencing.
When the reality is, it's us.
Yep.
Doesn't that sound horrible? But we're such good people. How could we be like the devil or what have you? But they don't understand. It's not really us, so to say. It's the soul. The soul has a life. See, maybe I should break it down from the very beginning.
Yes.
You know, why do you think you're here? Why do you think you're created? What do you think the reason is that the universe decided to create a heaven, or I should say an earth, for us to come down and dwell on? Just for what? Some people think, well, it's hell now, you know. They brought us down to have hell now. Or they might just think that it didn't even really exist and we evolved in from animals. Crazy. But the truth and the reality is there was a war in heaven that we were separated by the love of God.
Yep.
We were separated by the love of God. And so God said, you know what? I love all of you. I care for all of you. I know that you were influenced, and I'm going to give you a second chance. There was another war that broke out. God won the war. The second chance is he created Earth and brought us down in human form. And gave us a soul. And that soul is tempted by sin constantly, every day, on a daily basis, because it needs to eat. It needs to survive. It needs to live. And without sin, the soul cannot live. And that's why traditions, said that we were born in sin. Well, we're not born in sin. We're born in a soul that needs sin to survive. And its ultimate job of the soul is to separate us from God.
Yeah.
To pull us away from God.
Yep.
Or to lead us to hell eventually. And God says, I want you to fight the soul. I want you to resist the soul. I want you to kill the soul to show me how much you love me.
Right.
I may have ever heard this before, and it's true. So our job is to understand this truth. Now, the sad thing is this truth was given to us through generations, but has never been given to us in a form of keeping that tradition. It got watered down. Jesus was supposed to bring it to us. 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus was supposed to show us and bring us this mystery. And he did. And was written, and it was wrote about. And if you have eyes to see in Scripture, you can see it. But the canons got a hold of it.
Look, they edited it.
They edited it, exactly right.
They took a lot of excerpts of what transpired when he was here. And I even think they were even changing some of the words.
Sure.
You know, to make it, like he was probably talking about Christ is a seed in you, and it's for the Spirit, and they put Jesus Christ.
They said they did that.
Yeah.
They said they did that.
They did it on purpose.
Yeah, they did say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what really happened is the warfare that we're up against.
Yep.
The soul got a hold of it, and the soul exalted itself because the soul doesn't, it wants to be exalted. If you look at the if you look at the way things were directed towards, let's take the Catholic Church, let's take the Jewish synagogues, let's take the Hindus, yeah. The priests and the Hindus and the I guess the Buddhists, the priests and the Buddhists, they never give you the truth. They hold the doctrine or the tradition of whatever it is, and they convert themselves as high priests, and they put themselves above everyone else
to be recognized.
That's right. To be exalted or financially exalted, yeah, or whatever else. They're never letting you be free. They're never letting you have a relationship with God within yourself and to be able to know the powers to be broken from, and then have a conscience that's clean enough to know that you can overcome death and not be afraid to die. I always say to people, you think you have salvation? Okay. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to leave this earth? And if they're not ready to leave, if they're not ready to die, so to say, if they're not ready, I can't go now. I'm not ready.
Yep.
Then they don't have salvation.
As soon as my kid's married, as soon as this is done,
But if they have a conscience to say, no, I'm ready. If God chooses to take me today, I'm happy. I'm ready. And that's hard to find in a lot of people. It really is.
80%.
Now you might get someone that shoots off those, you know, oh, yeah, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready. Yeah, let me get you close to the cliff. And
it's like Peter. You know, if everybody denies you, I'll never deny you.
Yeah.
He denied him three times before the cock crowed.
Yeah. Right. So when the push comes to shove, you really have a good idea of who can really stand for truth as far as are you ready to die? Do you have salvation?
Right.
But the world has to understand that we're empowered with a sin nature, and it's the soul. And this soul, unfortunately, is always needing sin to survive.
Desiring.
It's desiring.
Constantly hungering.
It's constantly hungering. That's why Paul says, why do I do the things that I keep doing that I don't want to do? Yep. He knows he doesn't want to do it. He's always doing it, and he doesn't. And the bottom line answer was, it's because of sin that dwells within me. It's the food that, you know, is that he's partaking. I mean, when I eat something, let's say I eat a bagel. Okay, I eat it. Now, I didn't digest it yet. Is that bagel still dwelling in me?
Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah. So that's, you know, you have to understand the way the scriptures are written and how they're taught, how they talk, and the Spirit speaks. And when he says sin that dwells within me, it was a desire that caused him to manifest. And when he manifests, that's when it becomes sin.
Yep.
In the eyes of God.
Yep.
I want to set people free and realize that you can enjoy all that the world has to offer, but just don't sin. It's like you can get angry, but don't sin. But sin not.
Yeah.
People beat themselves up all the time because they have desires, and somehow or another traditions or whatever said that you can't do that, or you can't have that, or you can't be that, or whatever. And they live in guilt. They live in shame. But let's take a couple of steps back. The understanding that we didn't do anything wrong. None of us did anything wrong.
Correct.
It's from the fall. And we were born into it.
A nature.
So it's almost like...
cursed.
Yeah, we're cursed. It's almost like, let's say you had a real bad family. let's say the family was in crime, it was in real bad drugs, the whole nine yards. Maybe even the living standards were really bad, abusive. And you were a child born in that. Did the child do anything wrong?
Nope.
Okay, that's basically what we're at, you know? The whole family is full of corruption.
You know, I'm glad you bring this up because a lot of people can assume that the sin carries from generation to generation to generation. It's the influence of that sin. Because when you grow up in it, there's the influence to go into that.
Well, the temptation.
It's a temptation, the desire. Yeah, because when you're raised in your environment, so that environment's influencing you to do that.
Well, let me, because you kind of are jumping on me, and I want to. No, but it's a great point that you brought up because it's very, very important. Because our listeners and those that are out there need to understand this gospel. This gospel is being released now for a time like this. Look, Jesus was brought 2,000 years ago for a time like that. And they even said, what is it with this strange gospel he's bringing? You know, what is it? You know, and then he said, it's not strange. It's been around since the beginning of time. But, you know, it's happening now. And this isn't a strange gospel. It's been around since even Jesus back then. But the deal is the family that we are brought in, because we're born and born as a child. Well, this family is corrupt. It's full of corruption. It's full of bad. It's full of yuck. The family, the Bible calls it the world. Right. Calls it the world. That's why Jesus says, I may be in the world, but I'm not of the world. So it's like this. I may be in the family, but I'm not of the family.
Correct.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
I want to try to really make this clear to everyone so that we can move on. We need to move on and begin to beat the soul up now. Right. You know? Yeah. Stop eating sin when we can't, you know, we can't. And then understand that we can even have sin. Oh, I'm going to really throw a whammy at you. Because what makes sin, sin?
Right.
Huh? I'll get to that later. But we have been brought into the world, and the world is our family. It's corruption. Now, we don't have to continue to live in it. We can make a choice now and come out of it. And this is what God's desire is for us to come out of the world, come out of that family, come out of the place where you were born in. You had no choice. You were born in it. You can't put blame on a child that was born in a bad family, can you?
No.
You can't. It's like, not right.
It's like this. Say a woman gets pregnant in prison, and right. The baby's born in prison. Is it the baby's fault that the baby was in prison and born there?
No.
But it has to come out of that prison.
Right. You know? And so to hold anyone accountable because they were born in an environment that wasn't healthy for them is wrong. And that's what kind of the traditional religion tries to put on you, that you were born as a sinner and you need to repent. You're evil. Wicked, evil. You're not. The whole world is good. They were born in an environment that is not healthy. And we have to recognize the environment and not associate with the environment. That's what it's about.
You know, let me just make a point, because I was talking about it with somebody today, exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
This one person, at a young age, the mother left him, so he has separation issues or commitment issues in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't come out of the commitment issues.
Mm-hmm.
So he's living in that sin because he's got a choice to walk away from the commitment issues. He was brought into it out of ignorance because he was at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he's an adult, that person can come out of that and choose not to stay in that commitment issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is where I was heading at.
Yeah.
Another good point that you brought up, because now we're born in this relationship. We're born in this family. We're born in the world. okay? It's not healthy. The environment is not healthy. Now the individual has a choice to come out of it, okay? But this is what they say. This is who I am.
Bingo.
This is the A. This is where I was born. You know, you, what are you going to do? I have to deal with it. And it's like, that's not true. That's so far from the truth.
Correct.
No one says that you have to continue to live in that environment. Or there's no one says that you have to continue to live in that world. You don't have to, you know, well, this is life. No, it isn't.
That's an excuse.
There's a better life. You can still be in that realm, but not live that realm. You can have a life, but you are cowardly, I want to say cowardly, taking the easy way out.
Yes, correct.
By conforming yourself. It's easy to conform to the world, isn't it? Oh, it's easy. When those influences come, or the peer pressure comes, or the majority comes, you know what I'm saying? And they kind of push you into doing things that you really don't want to do, and you end up doing them.
That's a weak person.
Very weak.
You know, they have no stability in themselves or in God, let's say.
They just give up. They just don't have enough self...
even self-control.
Well, yeah, you self-control, know, but even there's an image. Like, how do you view yourself?
Confidence.
Exactly right. They don't have enough self-confidence. Right. That's a good word. That's a good word. Because if you look at the majority of people, they don't look at themselves as who they really are.
Right.
They look down on themselves as if they don't have a good enough education, they don't have enough money, they don't have good looks, or they live at a certain place or geographical location that's put down or something of that nature, or they feel rejected in right. one way or another.
True.
Because they feel a certain way. When the reality is, and I used to say this, remember? I just want you to know who you are.
Yep.
When you can know who you are, all those things go away. You got to build confidence in who you are. You got to be happy with who you are. You have to realize who you are. My conversion supernaturally helped me by saying, I'm now a child of God. I don't care what you, I know who I am. Now, how about you? Do you know who you are? And to have that confidence literally empowers you to get out of the slump, to get out of the miry clay, to get out of the muck, to get out of that pit that the Bible calls it a pit,
yep.
And to come out of that pit. This is why I believe it's at a crucial time right now for the world to understand that we are now entering warfare. We got to get out of the soul.
That's the whole thing. They're missing the truth.
They're missing the truth.
They've been fed lies their whole entire life. I mean, remember,
and they lost hope.
They never even had hope.
They never had hope. I like that.
You said on Sunday, what you said was you're born into a nature, and that nature is full of desires, and those desires did come from God. But if we allow those desires to become our God, That's all we worship all day long, is those desires. And our mind is just tormented by these lies and lies and lies. And it torments us and takes away our peace and joy, gives us anxiety. You know, but you know, that's why we're here, to bring a truth to the lie, because they've been duped their whole entire lives. And they never even had truth. It's like you're going to a person and saying, you're wrong, but you never knew you were wrong, but you're wrong, just because I said you're wrong. But they don't even know they're wrong. They don't even know truth from a lie.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because the whole world is suffering. They're all lost.
They don't know why.
They're all lost, and they don't know why.
And listen, the desire thing is huge, because you said this. You said that our worship to God is giving him all of our desires that he gave us back to him. That's our pure worship to him, is taking all desires he can bring and laying at his feet and saying, Father, not my will, your will be done.
Exactly, right.
And that's what you...
And then patiently wait, if it is God's will or not, to give it to
you. Correct. But see, here's...
Because that filters sin.
And here's where the whole world is. They are under desires. That's all they have is desires.
Well, that's our makeup.
That's exactly
our
right.
Our makeup is hope.
And when you don't get
desires, is our food.
Correct. And this all comes into where Paul said that the desires just keep coming and coming and coming. And this is where he said, "Why do I do what I don't want to do? Why do I do what I don't want to do? Because the desires, like you said, those desires keep playing with you and they keep tormenting you until you just give up and you walk. Where you don't want
to
go.
It comes out to the sin that dwells within them. And what was causing the desires to become sin was the fact that he allowed his heart to be troubled.
Exactly right.
He didn't give it to God.
Exactly right.
That's why it's so important that this is a crucial time right now.
They're all troubled out
there. That we not only know that we were born in a soul, and this soul nature is thriving on sin to survive, to ultimately drag us to hell and separate us from God, but we need God.
That's right. Yeah.
We need God. We cannot live without God. He is our Savior.
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Exactly right. And for us to sit here and say, hey, have a relationship with God, yeah, okay, why?
Exactly right.
Because I said so.
No,
because the soul was taking you to hell.
Exactly right.
The whole thing is this. Everybody is ignorant because of a lack of knowledge. And God even says, my people perish because of lack of
knowledge. But they were never told.
There's a lack of knowledge.
Correct.
They weren't told.
Correct.
That's a lack of knowledge. So that's why God's pouring out this grace, which is revelation knowledge at this time, to know that they have a soul and it's been influencing and duping them all their life. And now it's time to get out of that and get into spirit. So that's why, like what we're saying is, this is the most important time of everybody's life. But you know what? You have to lay down the pride and saying, "Oh, well, I'm not ignorant. I know what I am. I'm this in this body and everything." No, you're made up of spirit and soul. There's two different parts of you, and you have to understand that the soul is what you've been living in all this time, and now you're starting to know that it wasn't good. That's why you're doing all these habits. That's why you have all these desires that you don't want to do, and you're being influenced by it, and you're doing it. So we are coming to you with this revelation knowledge, this grace, and it's just your job to say, you know what? I need to change the way I'm thinking.
Well, I truly believe that the windows of heaven are now being opened up.
Yep.
Okay? You know, God didn't leave us. The world is getting wicked. The world is getting very perverted. The world is getting crazy. How many would agree with that? I mean, come on. Look at that. Look at the hatred that's being poured out. Now, they're trying to bring in a utopia and trying to bring this love and trying to bring peace.
Well, they're bringing a false love.
It doesn't matter. And it's all falsified. It's all falsified. And
it's conditional.
Not only is it conditional, it can't uphold itself because the only true peace and the only true love only comes through God.
That's right.
Man cannot create peace. Man cannot create love.
Nope.
Man cannot create any of these things.
Nope.
It all has to come through God. I can tell you to love. I can tell you not to hate. I can tell you to have peace. But who's ultimately going to be able to bring it forth?
Correct.
You can't.
Exactly right.
Only God through us can.
Correct.
So they can tell us all day long, don't hate. You can tell us all day long to have peace. You can tell us all day long to love. But if you can't do it.
You can't do it.
And you can't do it.
You can't do it.
Why? Because the soul is always eating sin to survive. And if the soul doesn't die and live into the spirit only knows love. The spirit only knows peace. And the spirit only knows, what's that other one?
Joy.
Righteousness.
Yeah, joy and righteousness.
Think of an addict. An addict can't stop.
Right.
On their own, they want to stop, but they can't stop.
And that's a soul.
They're eating.
Yep, they're eating the drug.
Well, it's like
they're eating it. They're eating it.
Or whatever it is. It could be just a habit. They can't stop.
They can't stop.
It's like you just said. The soul makes you feed on desires.
Yep.
And those desires are desires. They're just for the world. But the spirit has desires also.
Mm-hmm.
It's for peace, joy, and righteousness.
Correct.
And those desires have to be fed as well. And that's how we feed the God in us, by having self-control, by having a little bit of truth to battle against the lies. You know, because you have to start somewhere.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's why I say the nucleus of being delivered, because you have to be delivered. You have to be set free.
Yep.
You have to, you're held captive by the soul that only is thriving on sin or desires of sin.
Correct.
And how to cut that cord or how to starve it.
That's
how
why
to survive.
You need God.
You need God.
You can't set yourself free.
You can't set yourself free. No. And that's why it's important to have God.
That's where the trust of God comes in.
Right.
And trust him first.
And that's the nucleus. Yep. And we have to understand how important the nucleus is in life. If you don't have a center core, you don't have life.
Correct.
So you need a nucleus. You need a center core of life. And that center core of life for being reborn again is made up of not the soul, because the soul eats, you know, the sin, but it's love God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Yep.
That in itself will begin to eat the fruits of the Spirit, which will cause it to live. You keep loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, it will hunger and thirst after righteousness. Yep. It will hunger and thirst after the fruits of the Spirit, and will nourish and cherish the Spirit and raise the Spirit and bring the Spirit into a grown-up, into full grown life. But if we don't trust God, then the soul has power over us, and it empowers us, and it stays so hungry.
Correct.
And so thirsty for the sin nature, it just wants to eat sin, and you can't control it.
Nope.
It just goes on and on and on.
And this is the battle that you talked about earlier. Exactly.
The warfare that we're in. Now, one of the things that I want to emphasize, and I know you got something on your tongue, but you won't lose it, that the window right now of heaven is open. And we have to really understand that God has not left us. He has opened this window up for this opportunity for us to grab hold of this truth so that we can begin to change.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is why it's so important right now.
Absolutely.
Just like the window was open when Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The window of opportunity to change. But they rejected him.
Correct.
You know, one of the biggest lies out there is people say, oh, you know, God's not with me. God doesn't live within me. You know, if you're living in hell, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll make my bed in hell with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how much he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like Pastor was saying, Pastor Jim, if we would just trust him with all of our heart, soul, and mind,
mm-hmm.
just trust him.
Mm-hmm.
He will start to work on that soul and start to, you know, he'll start to give you things that you'll start to combat it, and it will start to diminish in your life.
It will influence. It will automatically. It's automatic. See, we have to realize that we're a living organism, okay? And it's no different than a seed that you put in the ground. That seed won't do anything until you begin to water it.
Correct.
It won't do anything until you allow sunshine. Okay, so you need light to come in, you need water to come in, and so loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind is like having that seed planted in good soil, having water, and having sunshine.
Correct.
With your whole heart, soul, and mind, water, soil, and sunshine, and that seed is going to grow.
Well, you know, the soil is kind of like repentance.
Yeah.
That's where the seed's planted in repentance. Because you're changing the way you're thinking from what you were, which was the soul,
mm-hmm.
and coming into the truth, which is spirit. You're saying, mm-hmm. I'm going to trust God with all my heart, soul, and mind. So now mm-hmm. light, the water's coming in.
And you're in the soil.
And you're in the soil.
Now, I want to make it so simple to our listeners, because people are making it so complicated to have eternal life. I want to tell you right now, you don't need the knowledge that we have. What you need is to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. That's what you need. Yeah. If let me ask you this. You planted that seed in the soil and you're watering it, and you got sunshine. Has any of that changed during the life of that plant?
No.
No. Exactly right. And what happened to that plant?
It grew.
It grew. And it grew big. And it bared grapefruit.
Yep. Exactly.
That's my point. Nothing changed. Yep. Nothing was complicated. It was the same water. It was the same soil. It was the same sunshine. All we got to do is love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. We don't have to make this complicated. We got to embrace God in our heart and stop the nonsense and just trust God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And that in itself will cause you to receive eternal life. You know what the problem is? They don't know warfare.
Correct.
They don't know how to stop this thriving sin that is in their life. They can't control it.
That's exactly right.
They can't control it.
It's like Paul said, why do I do what I don't want to do? Why do I say what I don't want to say? That's most of the world. They are in this place of bondage where they can't control what they do and say. No one is in control of themselves. No one. And that's most of the world. And that's what we're here saying.
That's
listen,
the whole world.
But listen, we understand. Don't try to hide. We understand. We know. We were in the same place. We did what we didn't want to do, said we wouldn't want to say, but we realized we needed help. When you can't control yourself, you have to admit there's something wrong. You know, that's the first step.
The other thing, too, is people will not come unto God. We can say trusting God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's a choice to say, I'm going to trust him and try to trust him. There's a lot of people out there that won't trust him.
Well, you're right on that one, and I have a word for those.
Yeah.
God sifts out who he wants and who he don't want. God opens up the ears. See, we have to also understand, too, we do have a choice, but at the same time, we don't have a choice. And why I'm going to say we don't have a choice, we're not puppets on a string that God leads around, okay? But you know when you have pain. And you know when you had enough pain. And you know that you want to be honest with yourself. You want to change. People need to be honest with themselves. They're not honest with themselves.
That's right.
They're not looking at the situation, and they're not being honest with themselves.
Correct.
Well, that's where they start to do medication, and that's where they start to even to commit suicide, because they're not coming unto God. They're not saying, all right, you know what? I had enough to where I'm just going to try God now.
They're just totally out of control. They are totally out of control.
I want to take the power out of the person. Okay? I want all of us to begin to start taking the power out of the person and realize that the soul is empowering them for hell.
And living through them.
Yep. It is.
And I want to encourage them to understand what's going on. And they can come out of their situation.
Right.
Don't give up hope.
Correct. Yep.
There's a way to come out of it, and you have to have understanding.
That's right.
You have to believe on what is being said.
Yep.
You have to realize that there is light at the end of the tunnel. You can't just say, well, this is life, and these are the cards I was dealt with, and it is, and I got bad hand, and this is the life that I'm going to live, and it's just bad. No. Cards are being dealt out every day. There's a new deck. There's a new day. There's a new light. There's new.
Well, not only this, Pastor Jim, but they have to. This isn't a one-day thing. This is a constant working at it. You know, it's a constant daily fight. This isn't one of like, hey, I'm going to try God for one time, and all of a sudden, hey, I'm in God now. No, this is a daily battle.
It's a war. It's war.
For the rest of your life here on earth.
I'm going to share something intimate with the world that through my own life, okay? There was a point that I actually was honest with myself. I had everything. I had a successful business. I had so-called friends. I had lots of them. I had things going on. But I was honest inside. I said, I'm sick. There's something wrong. There's something not right. I was honest.
You do know that.
Yep. And I was honest with myself, and my inner man began to cry out.
That's the first step right there.
Now, I know your background, and I know that there was a point in your life, too,
that you had severe depression and all, and you began to be honest with yourself.
Yeah, I said there's something wrong.
And in here. And in a subconscious way, you began to cry out.
Yeah.
Same with you. We come to that place where we have to be honest with ourselves, and the world needs to be honest. If they're not going to be honest with themselves, then this gospel or the kingdom of God is not for them. God already knew it was not for them.
Right.
He opens up the eyes. He opens up the ears. He opens up. You see? And he has to, and I know that this sounds crazy, but I truly believe God opened up your heart.
Yes,
absolutely.
And he opened up your heart. And he opened up my heart.
Yep.
You know,
it's true.
When our hearts are at that place where they're broken
and contrite,
God begins to hear. When you're going to be stiff-necked, hey, this is where I was born, and you're angry and you're bitter and you're hard, and that hardness, I'm going to tell you right now, is just going to drag you further and further in hell.
Just your bitterness. Just to reiterate your old point, what you said was the fruit of the soul is pride.
Yep.
The fruit of the spirit is humility. If you're not willing to humble yourself and admit that you're not happy, to admit that you're not, something's wrong, then you're in pride. And the soul is pride, and the spirit is humility. And that's where you're at. You know, unless you humble yourself, you won't be raised up. It's impossible.
What most people need to come to an understanding is they have to have an honesty to look at themselves.
That's right.
They can't point fingers. They can blame fingers on an accident. They can blame fingers on a job loss. They can point fingers on a woman or a man leaving them. They can point fingers on a bad mom or a bad dad. They can point fingers on a bad geographical location. They can point fingers at anything they want.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is they got to point fingers at themselves.
That's right.
Okay, they have to begin to be honest and say, well, you know what? I didn't do anything wrong because my mom and dad were bums. You know, I didn't do anything wrong because I lived in a geographical area that just wasn't healthy for me. The environment was bad. I couldn't control this person. Or, you know what, this person left me because, you know what, I was a bad person to them too.
Yeah.
You see, we have to take responsibility.
Yeah, because guilt will form if you don't take responsibility for doing what you believe you did wrong.
And not only will guilt and shame embrace the soul to live, because the soul will lie and comfort you and try to
self-pity.
You know,
we were talking about self-pity
exactly right on Sunday, and I wanted to bring that up because that empowers the soul when we begin to not being honest and we point fingers at everything else. Then we are in grit with a thing called self-pity. Self-pity is bad.
Horrible.
It's so bad. And self-pity begins to justify. Self-pity begins to put all these things into an equation, and then self-pity says, the devil made me do it, you know, or I'm an addict, and, well, you know.
The root word for pity is pit.
Yeah.
You're in a pit. A self-pit is what you're in.
Exactly right.
And it's hard to get out of a self-pity.
It really is. Listen, if there's issues that are holding you back, that you feel as though that it's holding you back, you can fix these issues, or you can get over the issues and accept it.
Yeah. Self-pity is actually a very high form of pride.
It is.
One of the highest forms of pride. It's the highest form of pride you can get is self-pity. Yeah.
It is. And, you know, the Lord brought me that word.
You're absolutely right.
And I brought a message on Sunday about self-pity and how God began to start showing me the power of how the soul is staying inoperative. We have to destroy the soul. The soul has to be demolished. It has to be taken away. And if we could take the soul out, we could take out the guilt and the shame. We could take it because there's an inner man, a subconscious inner man that is awake in these areas, and this guilt and shame kind of buries them more and more and more.
It's a woe is me.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's my fault. It's their fault.
And the more we keep putting dirt over top of the subconscious, so to say, then the soul just empowers. It just empowers and then becomes rude and abrupt and obnoxious and uncontrolling and stiff-necked.
It has legal rights now.
It does. It has legal rights.
Because we, you know, our ministry a long time ago, we used to have people come in that were demonically oppressed by the soul,
mm-hmm.
and we would do like an exorcism.
We were growing.
We were growing
in spirit. And
let's face it, the soul would speak out and say, I have legal rights to be in this person because...
Because the way they were thinking.
Correct. And self-pity and other...
And then we realized the empowerment the soul has on the house.
Yep. Correct.
And we'll call the house your body. Why do you do the things that you keep on doing that you can't do? And so it's controlling you. It's controlling that part of being and is possessing. It's literally possessing. Well, and it's causing you to live a life that you really don't want to live.
You were possessed.
And that's why we stopped casting out or trying to cast out demons. We said, you know what? It made us change the way we thought about ministry. You said, you know what? Let's see them bring fruit worthy of repentance first. Let's see if they're going to humble themselves.
Yeah.
And because it has to start with the humility and saying, okay, I got issues. I got problems. Start crying out to God.
You know, I need to change.
I need to change.
It's no longer their fault, this fault, that fault. Right. You know what? I'm going to start taking responsibility on my own life. I have a bad attitude. I need to change my attitude. Yes. I can't stop abusing. I have to no longer abuse.
Correct.
I have to now, you know, be more compassionate. I have to
and
be more kind.
And that's where God starts to interject in your life. And he starts to break away these powers, and he starts to break because you're actually humbling yourself.
Because that's where delivering comes.
Correct. I was going to say the same thing by showing fruit.
Yes.
Because repentance isn't just happen.
No.
It's a gift from God.
Show it.
Right.
It's a gift from God. He gives it to you when you're broken and contrite. But you get that way by self-control, by controlling yourself, by allowing the things in the world just to happen and not judging it. Yeah. I mean, things happen because it's the world. What are you going to do? I mean,
well, you know. But getting back to the ministry end of it, when you can bring light into that dark realm of the soul, and they believe what you're saying is true, and they embrace it, and repentance does come, you will be delivered.
Correct. Exactly right.
You will be delivered.
Your salvation's there.
Your salvation's there. Correct. But if they don't heed the light, if they don't heed the truth that is being given and they keep justifying or keep denying or not accepting it and continuing to do what they're doing, they're down a bad road.
They're done.
Let me go back to a point you made earlier that's essential. When you can't control your actions and you do what you don't want to do, say what you don't want to say, you are possessed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any control of yourself whatsoever. That would scare the crap out of me.
Yeah.
If someone told me that I had if I realized I had no control of myself, I'd be the first one to say, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. I can't stop doing this. I can't stop doing that. I don't have any control over myself whatsoever. I got a problem.
Right.
That would scare the crap out of most people in this world. They just scare the living crap out of you because you're possessed. You don't have possession of yourself. You're possessed.
Correct.
Yeah. You're doing what you don't want to do. You're saying what you don't want to say because you don't have control. That would scare me to death.
Amen.
That means that you're out of control and you can't be controlled. You're an animal.
And at the same time, there is a way out.
We had the answer.
Yeah.
There's a way out.
Yep.
Yes.
And light has to come into that dark place.
Yep.
Because the soul is nothing more than dark. It's dark.
It's a nature, yep.
It's a nature. It's a nature of life.
Yep.
The soul is a nature of life.
Correct.
Everyone's a soul.
Yep.
Everyone is a nature of life.
Yeah.
And the food of a nature is sin.
Yes.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
It's that simple.
That's why people need to grab a hold of this truth tonight,
mm-hmm.
because there's ministries out there that are going around casting out demons and casting out this. And what happens is because they didn't come into the repentance and the humility, that stuff comes right back and even more come in.
Yes. Well, not only exactly
They're going down even a farther road.
Well, I'm going to tell you how. And I'll tell you, the soul is slick.
Oh, he'll lie right to him.
I'm gonna also show you an example
of
how they can come back and bring friends.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
You leave a ministry. They didn't do anything. I was humiliated. Blah blah blah. And next thing you know, the soul's like, "Yeah, who are they? What kind of God is that?
Right.
Now bitterness, anger, resentment, hatred, all starts to become more empowered.
Yeah.
And that's how they all start coming in.
Yes.
You see? By the negative fruit that occurred.
Yeah.
It'll take away from God completely, where you might have had a shot before.
Exactly
because
right.
Because seven more came in, you're actually farther away from God. You actually don't you stop believing in God. You're like, okay, I'm going to serve God like that. I'm going to just take
you're
care of myself.
Off.
Screw that guy.
I know an individual right now who's running from true ministry
because
of how badly he was ridiculed and abused from the church, basically trying to do deliverance because of his issues.
Yeah.
He had some physical issues and stuff like that. And it was brought on by his parents taking him to the church to try to get deliverance and all that other stuff. And it just abused him because they didn't know what they were doing. Right. And in the meantime, hurting the person.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then I talked to him today, and they're like, you know what I'm saying? It ain't happening. And it's sad.
It is sad.
But there's nothing we can do other than
offer the truth.
That's it.
You have to choose it.
Exactly right.
It's like you always say, it leads you to water, I can't make it drink.
Yep. Well, that's why now we have taken a different approach on the way we minister and do deliverance and stuff like that. If they're not, first of all, if they're not ready to receive you for who you are, then you're wasting your time.
Bingo.
Because if they're not going to take the truth that we're giving them, because the soul automatically wants to hide in darkness, so the soul will automatically say, nah.
Correct.
The soul will automatically point fingers at something else and justify.
Yep.
The soul will just not accept light.
Correct.
And if the soul is powerful,
it'll play with you.
It'll just, and if you know who you are, then when you do reveal these things to them, you know that the soul is just lying. Because the soul is nothing but a liar.
And it denies.
So that's when you just wipe the... I'm sorry, I can't help you right now.
Yeah. Keep listening. We'll be back in a few months.
Exactly right.
If you're still here.
Yeah. Oh, we ran out of time. I apologize.
Great subject matter tonight.
Yeah. So please understand the importance of life so that we know what we're up against. Remember, nobody did anything wrong. Right. We're all good people. It's like that baby born in a bad environment, and that environment is consuming the baby. It's not that the baby did anything wrong.
You're about to be adopted.
Yes, we want to adopt you.
Yeah.
So with that being said, let's just give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen? Amen. That concludes our Wednesday service.